So at the beginning of Mass, I think I just solved the mystery. Well, actually, I didn't solve it, but our director of parish operations, Andy, he solved it for me. When I was in the back, he said, "Father Brian, I think it's spring break." And I said, "Oh, that's why there's not 650 people here." So you can thank spring break for the reason for having a little bit of elbow room this morning. Okay, so that means that there's no guarantees next year. If you come back to the 10 o'clock, you might have packed elbows again. We'll see. So as happened also last year, Father Chaz and I were in this church late last night celebrating the beauty of our Easter Vigil. Easter Vigil, I think, is the most beautiful liturgy of the whole year. It's phenomenal. If you've never been to one, I would highly recommend at one point in your life at least to celebrate an Easter Vigil. You have to bring your endurance shoes because it's a long liturgy. It's about 3 hours or so. But it's that amazing point, especially where we see the personal witness of the resurrection in our midst. Today, of course, we have the Easter joy, which is the day that Jesus conquers death, the day that he makes his power known. You know, but there's something very, very particular about the gospel accounts and about the accounts of Jesus' resurrection also that we heard in the Acts of the Apostles, and it's this. It's that the resurrection is fundamentally a story of personal witness. Easter Sunday is a story of personal witness. It must be. If the Easter story was not a story of personal witness, this church would not exist. You wouldn't be sitting here right now. If nobody ever knew that Jesus actually rose from the dead, how would anybody have ever known that it all mattered? How would anybody have ever known that Jesus was actually telling the truth? How could they have believed in his power if he was just like, you know, the rest of the supposed messiahs who came, who gained this great following, and then who were killed, and all their followers dispersed? This was the story of the Hebrew people, of the Israelite people, the people of God, whom God taught to yearn for salvation. But God, in a very compassionate way, spoke to his people about salvation ultimately not from on high. He didn't speak to them through a cloud in the end. He didn't speak to them through prophets in the end. He spoke to them in his own person. And when he needed to prove his power in the final analysis, he did so in such a way that people literally saw Jesus. They saw him die. They saw him buried. They thought it was over. And then something so strange happens. See how it was described in the Acts of the Apostles, how Peter said, "We are witnesses. We are witnesses of what he did while he had his ministry in Jerusalem. We saw him be put to death by being hanged on a tree." And then Peter said, "God raised this man. And he granted that he be visible, not to everybody, but to us, the witnesses." When we come to celebrate Easter, we don't sit in this church on Sundays as a simple way to have a nice ritual. We don't have Easter joy just because we need this kind of pick-me-up that helps me feel better. Easter Sunday is a Sunday of personal witness. It was that way on the very first Easter Sunday. It was that way on every Easter Sunday following. And especially we get a chance to see the fact that Easter Sunday, the story of the resurrection, is something that happens in the present. We get a special chance to see that, especially at the Easter Vigil each year, because our own brothers and sisters come forward to the very sanctuary of the church to proclaim personally that the story of the resurrection changed their life. Changed their life. They proclaim to us every year, and their stories are incredible. Just sit down with someone who, any number of the 15 that came into our church here at St. John's this year, and say, tell me your story of personal witness. Tell me your story of personal witness. When you and I personally witness the power of God, it changes our lives. It makes a difference. It gives us new life, not in a way that simply, I don't know, makes our bodies healthy, makes us feel more vigorous. That's not the new life that Jesus brings. Jesus brings a new kind of life that changes my soul. He gives me something that never goes away. He gives me something that actually makes me different. It is incredible to experience the power of God to witness the supernatural happen. And the supernatural happens in our midst every day. Every day. It happened in the lives of everyone who ever came into an encounter with Jesus and said, you know what? This means something different to me now. And I'm going to live a different life because of the grace that's entered into my heart. As a priest, I get a chance to see this all the time. It's one of the most incredible things to witness the fact that God's real and that God actually desires to change people's lives. And when you witness people's lives change, you just want to like fist pump. You're like, yes! Because it makes a difference. We cannot be Christians if we do not encounter Jesus. We cannot call ourselves Christians if we are not encountering Jesus. The day that we stop being Christian is the day that we stop encountering the Lord. Because encounter is a reality that only happens in the now. In the now. If it stops happening, well, that's what I like to call the slow fade. Because sooner or later, we just kind of step back, and we step back, and then we step back, and then we just kind of start living our own lives. And we forget this moment. We have a real problem with our memory. All of us. Me too. Jesus knows this. So Jesus says to us, especially on Easter, he says, my power is a story of personal witness to you. To you. And when that power enters into our lives, supernatural things happen. Just happened recently. Some of you were probably here with us several weeks back when we had our night of Eucharistic adoration, which we do during the season of Advent and during the season of Lent, where we come on a Friday night and everything's dark and we light this whole thing up with candles. It's awesome. And then we bring the Lord and the Holy Eucharist to the altar and we place him in this receptacle called a monstrance, which is this gold-plated sun-looking mechanism with the host in the center, and we simply worship God, and we allow ourselves to personally witness the power of grace. Well, I led that hour of adoration during the Lenten season, and it was a powerful evening for the 150 or so of us that were there that night, who wanted nothing more than to know simply that Jesus was real, and to encounter him again, and to realize that supernatural grace is meant to enter into my life and to change me. And after we had that hour of adoration, I had this couple come up and approach me. And we were all just kind of cleaning up after the fact, but they met me right here in the sanctuary and they said, Father Brian, we just want to tell you that we thought this night was really powerful. We were so edified by just this time. We thought that it was just very, very moving. And we were wondering if you would be willing to pray with us. It was a husband and a wife. You see, the wife had cancer. She had recently found out this diagnosis and was going in for further tests to identify just how big the tumors were and how exactly the doctors were going to decide to do her therapy and her treatment. And as they came forward and they said, "Father, will you pray with us? Will you pray especially for my wife? Because we're going into this doctor appointment. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know that something's wrong. And we believe in the power of God. And we just want to pray about this." And I said, "Absolutely. I love praying with people. It's one of my favorite things to do. The reason I love to pray with people so much is because I get to witness another human being open their heart to Jesus, expecting in faith that Jesus will actually respond, believing that Jesus will respond in a supernatural way." And we stood right here in the sanctuary, right back there, while there was movement and commotion around us, and we just huddled up, and there was nobody but us. And we just started to pray. We just kind of tuned out everything going on around us, and we just placed ourselves in the presence of Jesus. After having just been with him for an hour to receive his grace, his husband and wife came up in faith and said, "I believe in the power of grace." And we prayed. We prayed in thanksgiving for their marriage. We prayed in thanksgiving for their lives. We prayed in thanksgiving for the gift of their faith. And then we brought to Jesus this man's wife. And we offered to God her body and the sickness that was in her. And we prayed over the muscles, and we prayed over the bones, and we prayed over the lymph system, and we prayed over the blood that flowed through her bodies. We prayed for all of those proteins that were out of balance. We prayed for the gift of her immune system. We prayed for healing. We prayed that the Holy Spirit would come down and anoint this woman. And after several minutes of praying and thanking God and worshiping Jesus, and we proclaimed that we believed in him, that we wanted to worship him and give our lives to him, and after we prayed, the wife said, "You know, in this whole time, even as I learned of the diagnosis, I have just, God has given me the grace to know that everything's going to be okay." And in her eyes, it was so apparent that she really believed that God was present with her, that she believed that God has the power to change us and our circumstances. And I didn't know these people. I may have met them on an occasion a year and a half ago at a funeral for a man named Gary Giglio, who some of you may know. That's also an incredible story. But then they left, and I haven't seen them since. Well, come to find out through the grapevine that something quite strange happened. And I learned after the fact of this woman who spread the news to her family and to her close friends, who then relayed the news back to me, that she went to the doctor, gone. Couldn't find the cancer. They couldn't find it. And the friend relayed to me that as this woman was being prayed over in the very spot where there was the cancer, she described feeling an intense heat and a very sharp pain as I was praying. And she knew that the Holy Spirit was working in that moment. And sure enough, 2, 3, 4 days later, when she went to the doctor and they scanned her body in search of the tumor was gone. It was gone. Jesus healed this woman of cancer 4 weeks ago because she personally witnessed the power of grace and the presence of Jesus and the fact that that presence makes a difference. There are many stories that I could tell you where I have personally witnessed that very thing, where I walk in, for example, to a hospital, to someone who's in critical care unit and they're dying, they're not expected to live, and the only thing I do is I show up. I just show up. I make myself available to God. I pray the prayers that the church asks me to pray. I give the anointing, and people are healed. People's lives are changed by grace, because this is what Easter is. Easter is not a reality that took place 2,000 years ago and we just make a ritual out of it to say, hurrah. Easter is a story of personal witness, which means that you and I are made to encounter Jesus today, right now, in this very Mass, when the Lord is going to come down upon this altar in the form of bread and wine, and through his Holy Spirit, he's going to consecrate those elements and make them into his very body and blood. And we're actually going to take the God of the universe into our own bodies. And if you and I are here this day desiring to receive supernatural grace, and if we ask for that in faith, why would God deny us grace? This is what we've been made for. We've been made for a kind of grace, a kind of supernatural experience that changes us forever in the same way that it changed the lives of the apostles. It changed them so much that they decided they were going to die for it. That's how convinced, that's how much personal witness makes a difference to you and to me. And so, the Easter story, it's your story. It's my story. That's what it's meant to be. And if it's not that already, that's a great grace for you and for me to pray for this day. For you and me to say, Jesus, if you are real, show me. Lord, if you desire to enter into my life in a deeper way, I consent. I make a decision today in this moment to believe that your grace is real and that it can change me. When we make ourselves vulnerable in that way, and that's a hard prayer to pray, but when you and I make that decision, when we make ourselves vulnerable, God is so generous. God will not fail to answer our prayers. Think about any of you here who are mothers and fathers. And you who have raised children, and when you saw your child in need, and your child cried out to you, did you just stand there and watch them and say, no thanks? I mean, it's just inconceivable. Of course, we have this innate instinct to respond to the people that we love. It's almost like we can't help ourselves. It's automatic. And if that's automatic for us in our natural relationships, how much more automatic is it for a God who created you and me from nothing, who didn't have to make us? I don't have to be here, and the world would go on. And you don't have to exist, and the world would go on. And yet, here we are on a Sunday morning, sitting in pews in a building that was built for the sole purpose of recognizing the truth of this day. The fact that the resurrection of Jesus made a difference in all of human history, and it makes a difference in your heart and in my heart in this moment.